Welcome to the Greater Church Podcast. We are praying that wherever you find yourself on the journey, that this message will be an encouragement and blessing to you. And now, here's today's message.
I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. And it says, "Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices that they may come and anoint him." Him talking about Jesus. "Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb then when the sun had risen. And they said amongst themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And in entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell the disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, and as he said to you.' So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Hey, over the next 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, maybe preach for about 2 hours because I miss you, I want to speak to you from this idea: distant but not separated. Distant but not separated. Come on, let's pray. Father, I love you. I'm so grateful, Lord, that on this Easter Sunday, Lord, we can celebrate your resurrection power, Lord. I pray, Father, take me out of the equation, Lord, and you speak. This is the chance, Lord Jesus, that I believe in my heart, whether they've called Greater Church home, Lord, or maybe they just stumbled on this link. Here's an opportunity we have, Lord, to encounter you, to respond to you, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you would speak directly to the hearts, Lord. Even those, Father, that maybe are not even watching this on Easter Sunday and they're watching a playback, I pray that you would speak to their lives. Step out of time, Lord God, and step into their hearts, Father. Lord, I love you and I thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen and amen. Hey, I was talking with my wife, during this season, and it's not been like years, but it's been a little bit of a time since this coronavirus and kind of the social distancing and some of the individuals or workplaces and restaurants that have been closed. And, you know, I was talking to my wife and I was like, man, like I miss restaurants. I not the idea of just like driving by and like, why you ain't got gloves and a mask on? Don't touch my food. Like none of that. I mean, like sitting down and like ordering your food and how you doing, waitress or waiter, how's it going, knowing their name and then ordering your food, and then here comes this moment, like it's this faith that you gotta have. Now it's just like, hey babe, make me a sandwich, and she's like, no, you go make it yourself, and I know that I'm gonna make my sandwich and I know the time that I'm gonna receive my sandwich. I have control of this thing. But there was a time where you would sit there and it was awesome because you would just have to wait, and you ordered your food and you would just like just wait. The waitress or the waiter would kind of come around. And sometimes it was like this moment. I hated this moment. They would come with these plates of food and they'll be walking right to you. And then all of a sudden, they'll bust a left and go the other way. It's like you have no control. You just had to wait for them to bring your food. And then finally, when the food came, oh, glory to God. I almost spoke it. Hakuna Matata. When that food came and you devoured it. And it was just, there's like an experience. Like, I can't wait to just go to a restaurant and sit down and just eat and talk to your friends and be able to obviously be generous to your waiter, your waitress. But this whole idea of just having to wait, I feel like it's something that we've lost the art of. Sabbath, the Mary, the Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, they had to wait. For 3 entire days, Jesus has been crucified. He has been placed in a tomb. Illegal it was for them to go to the tomb or for them to do any type of work. They actually had to wait for Sabbath to be passed to be able to go and do whatever they needed to do with the body of Jesus. They wanted to prepare it. They wanted to make sure that he was good. It's crazy because I feel like that's the season that we're in right now. That we're in a season where it just feels like we're just waiting. Like we're just stuck. It's funny because this actual message, God began to give it to me a little while ago before the coronavirus. And it was thoughts that I had that I started jotting down on a piece of paper. Little did I know that it spoke directly to the season that we're in right now. That though you feel like Jesus is nowhere to be found, though you feel like you're on pause right now and you can't move, that Jesus is actually working. That though you don't see him, that he's actually involved in the intricate details of your life, that he's actually at work. But it's Sabbath. We feel like we're just, my hands off. I can't get the job that I want to right now. I can't make the health move faster towards healing than I can. I can't do these things. I can't put my hands on this. I can't fix it. I feel like the seasoned saints, they used to have this term, waiting on Jesus. And I feel like it's evaded us completely in this season and time. Can I tell you that Jesus is working? That he's worthy enough in this season, as he was back in these days, to understand, for me and you to understand, that he's actually powerful enough not to operate under your time, but to operate under his time. Both of the Marys and Salome, they went to go to anoint Jesus' body with spices. And this is beautiful because it actually shows you something. And it's a quick little tidbit that I want you to write down. This season right now, what you're going through right now, I want you to write these things down. Why? Because here it is that Mary, who was the one that anointed Jesus with the oil, with the alabaster box, she worshiped him. She anointed him when he was alive, but then she was actually going to anoint him after she passed away. In two separate seasons of her life, she was worshiping him. During this season, God is going to do things. He's going to show you things. You're going to worship him in such a way. There is no clutter. In these moments, these are the moments where God is actually so clear, he's so vivid in this season, that I want you to write these things down, what he's telling you, what you're gleaning from this season, because you're going to have to use it into another season. When we're already back to normal, when we're sitting at the restaurant, whether you're a waiter, waitress, or you're eating at a restaurant, there's going to be a season that's going to come, and I want you to understand that the miracles, the power, the potential, the things that God did and that showed you in this season, you want to be able to take it into the next season. You want to worship him when he's outside of this season, the very same way that you're worshiping right now as this season continues to move forward. Mary Magdalene, they all go, and the Bible says that very early in the morning, they go up to the tomb and they're thinking to themselves, yo, who's going to roll this stone away? Who's going to be able to move this stone out of the way? And I know that that's a question that I've asked myself. I know that that's a question that you've probably asked. How am I going to get this big stone out of the way so that I can get Jesus? How am I going to get this addiction out of the way? How am I going to get this insecurity, this depression, this anxiety? How am I going to clean myself up? I need to get this thing out of the way before I go to Jesus. The Bible says that they walked and they were scared. Who is going to roll the stone away? And when they get there, the stone was actually removed. And the Bible says something. It just gives you a little bit of a tidbit. It said, for it was a very large stone. It doesn't just say things to say it. I think it was important. And I want you to understand why it was important. Because I couldn't remove my stone. Because I was 8 years old when I joined my first gang. By the time I was 19, I had been in and out of trouble with the law for so long that the devil had my mind completely wrapped up. It was a time of darkness that I came to God and I said, yo, God, I can't figure this out. I'm not going to be able to roll this stone away. I was completely wrapped up in darkness. My life was so far from God, but it was Jesus that came to me in the middle of the night. It was Jesus that came and he removed the stone from me. It was Jesus that actually removed the thing that I thought I had to do to be able to get him. I got to stop smoking. I got to stop drinking. I got to stop doing this. I got to stop doing X, Y, and Z so that I can actually come to God. And how beautiful it is that he actually removed the stone from my life, that he actually saved me, that he healed me, that he cleaned me up. And here I am decades later, and I'm still serving him. I'm still chasing after him. See, your stone probably was a pebble maybe, and God didn't have to reach so far. But man, if there's somebody on this check chat, if there's somebody on YouTube, Facebook, if you're watching on the website, and God had to rescue you deep down, and it was a big stone, write an emoji on there, put a heart in there, put some praying hands, put a fist up, because Jesus had to come and rescue me. He had to remove this stone out of my life. It had to be him. This stone sometimes is just religion. It's just, I curse too much. I can't come to God. I got to clean myself up. I got to stop doing all of these things. When in reality, if you can accomplish any of these things by yourself, then you don't really need God. It's religion. It's you thinking to yourself, if I remove this stone, if I stop doing certain things, then I can come to God. Can I tell you, man, that you can come to God as you are? He loves you too much to leave you where you are, but you have an open access to be able to receive him, to be able to walk with him. And me and you, we don't have the power to change. It's not in us. We can't. You don't have to teach a baby to lie. It's sin. But Jesus has the power over sin, death, hell, and the grave. This is what we're celebrating today, that he's removed the stone. The Bible says that these women see the stone moved out and they walk in. And I can only imagine how gingerly, what they're thinking in those moments. I can't even imagine. They walk in and it's a young man wearing a white robe. And he says, yo, Jesus is not here. He's not here behind this religious stone that you had to try to get through. He's not here anymore. He's no longer a seed. We talked about it last week. If you didn't go back and listen to the message, he's no longer a seed full of potential, but he's actually died. Not only has he died, but he's actually sprung up to life. That he's no longer a maybe, that he's no longer a possibility, that he's no longer potential. He's no longer behind the stone, but he has actually been planted and he brought about fruit. He tells him, I want you to look around. Look at the place where you think he's at. Look at the religion. Look at your life where you thought he's at. Now I want you to do me a favor and I want you to take this and I want you to share it with people. Go tell the disciples that he's actually going to meet them. Yo, how beautiful it is that he tells us, me and you, still today, 2020 years later, I want you to go and I want you to share. His share on Facebook and YouTube. Copy this link, send it to somebody. But I want you to understand that he's telling us to share our story, that he's actually going to come behind and he's going to empower you to be able to do all of the things that he's asked you to do. For some of us, that means that we got to finally write this book, that we got to start that blog. You grab a microphone. You got a camera. You don't even need a microphone. Just grab a phone and you begin to declare the mercies and the grace of God on IG Live, on Facebook, on your watch parties. You begin to speak because God has done something inside of you. There is a miracle that he's done and developed in you that he's asking for you. Look at the place. Look at your past. Look at all the things that you've done before. Look at how much and how close he's gone and how close he's come to you, how he's removed the stone. Go tell somebody about this thing. I want you to show you. I want you to show you something. What happens when we actually step out and do what he tells us to do? In Mark chapter 16, verse 20, this is what he says. This is after he's met the disciples. He's commissioned them. He's talked to them. Verse 20 says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of signs. Amen. I'm going to read it because it's just that good. It says, and they went out and preached everywhere, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Church Live. They went to the corners on their text messages. Maybe you can't go outside of your house physically, but man, you can go out there. You have 2 fishes and 5 loaves right now with your iPhone or your Android, and you can actually watch God feed thousands because of your 2 fishes and 5 loaves. Come on, it's Easter Sunday. You got a word inside of you. God has done something, and the beautiful side about it is that he actually accompanies that, affirming the word and accompanying it with signs. This God that we're talking about, this is a real thing. Can I tell you that me and my wife, we've experienced that. We've seen that. We left the comforts of our home and we went and we had the stone rolled away, both of us in our life. And we walked in and Jesus wasn't in that empty religious tomb that we thought he was in. No, he wasn't in a tomb. He was sitting inside of us. He was living inside of us. And he told us to go. And we responded to that go. And can I tell you that our goal led us to you, Greater Church? We didn't go to Africa. Like, we didn't have to go across the world to another remote village to go preach the gospel. We came to Georgia. And if I'm honest with you, the bugs in Georgia kind of look like lions in Africa as well. Anyway, those bees are like the size of a football stadium. They're crazy. But God, in his sovereignty, he sent us. And our goal led us to you. Our goal led us to a family that, man, we missed you. And yes, we're distant, but we're not separated. Our goal, God responded to it with this beautiful encapsulated community of believers that we've been watching God do things but unbelievable over the last 2.5 years, going on 3 years. But it's because we surrendered to God. We said yes to his goal, and he came behind it, and he actually allowed for these miracles to happen. All of these churches and individuals, the families that we've been able to feed during this season, the actual hands and feet that me and you have been as a church, it's because God has come behind us and because he's empowered and actually used our go. Yeah, he uses your go. But if I'm honest with you right now, our go led us to you. Our go led us to you. And I'm not talking to Greater Church. I love you, Greater. Start praying right now, because there's somebody who's watching online right now, and maybe this is the first time you've ever heard the gospel. Maybe you feel like you got a big old stone that nobody can move. Sometimes you feel like, man, I can't figure this out, especially in the midst of this coronavirus. You feel like, man, I can't figure it out. It's too heavy for me to carry. Can I tell you that Jesus, he's not this hateful, ugly, judgmental person that you thought he was. that this God that actually wants you to get it right and he wants you to stop watching and stop doing all of these things. But it's crazy that he's actually removing those huge stones out of your life so that you can have access to him. Can I tell you that he's not here? He's not in the tomb and in the story. He's not here in his Bible. He's actually there with you. You know that he's so madly in love with you, that he's been chasing after you, that the very reason you got this black Cuban coming onto your social media, your TV, however it is that you're watching right now, is because he loves you. He's removed all the barriers so that you can let him in. My question for you today is, would you let him in? On his Easter Sunday, would you open your heart up to Jesus and would you allow for him to transform your life? Would you take your seed, which is your life, and would you plant it in him? Not bury it. Burying is dead. Burying doesn't do anything. There is no coming back from being buried. But would you plant it? Because when you plant it, you water it, it comes about as a beautiful flower, as a beautiful tree. It produces things inside of your life. Would you take your life and would you plant it in Jesus? Because here it is that you have an opportunity. And I don't know how you stumbled on this link, but I do know that he's been chasing you. I do know that he loves you. I do know that he wants to have a relationship with you. And anything that you've done in the past, in the present, that you did yesterday on Saturday, or whatever time it is that you're looking at, it doesn't disqualify you from a relationship. He says, come as you are. He will do the job. He will do the heavy lifting of removing the stone, of helping you. But you come to him. That's your job. So I would love for you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. The mission of Greater Church is to reach and empower all people. We hope that this message met you wherever you find yourself on the journey. If God is using this ministry to impact your life, please head to our website at www.greater.church, where you can read a message from our pastors, partner with us by giving online, and learn more about what is happening in the life of our church. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on all social media platforms.